Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I want to read verses 12 through 14. Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he, that is the Lord, charged him to tell no man, but to go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according to as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. There were certain procedures under the law that must be observed, and our Lord would have them observed. And so he tells this man to do that. The story here recorded is one of the many instances of our Lord's tender mercies toward hopeless sinners. That's why these things are preserved. They're not preserved to prove to us that Jesus Christ or the apostles could perform miracles. That's not why these things are preserved. They're preserved to show us God's tender mercy toward sinners. And we're not told who this man was. We're not told anything much about his past, only that he was a leper and that he was full of leprosy. He didn't just have a touch of it. It didn't just begin to show on his skin. He was full of leprosy. And that from the testimony of others, this man came to Christ with the full confidence that Christ would restore him and make him clean. That's why he came. Nobody came to Christ not expecting to be healed. They were convinced if they could get to Christ, healing was in him. He'd healed others, why not themselves? I don't know why we don't think that way, do you? He healed others. He saved others. Why not me? Why not me? And I'll remind you and myself that all these healing miracles and all the casting out of demons, these things all had a twofold purpose behind them. In Acts 2:22, Peter tells us that Jesus of Nazareth was a man approved of God. How did God approve him? How did God say, how do we know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? How do we know that he was sent of God? Well, he says here that he was a man approved of God among us by miracles and wonders and signs. Now listen, which God did by him. He did these miracles with Christ, though Christ is the God-man. Had power of himself to do anything God could do. And yet God would have us know that this representative man would do these things by faith. And God did these miracles, is what it says here, which God did by him in our midst, showing that he was a man approved of God. He was approved as the Christ. He was approved as a preacher sent from God, and he was approved as God's son in the person of a man. He was approved of God. And then secondly, he gave us these miracles of healing to picture the present condition and salvation of chosen sinners. He's showing us what we are. He's showing us our absolute need of Christ. Nobody else could do a leper any good. Huh? Are we lepers? Then nobody else can do us any good. You see what he's showing us these things in a picture, so simple to perceive, so simple to understand. This man had nowhere else to go. He was dying from the inside out. He had a disease that was rotting his body from the inside out. There was no reversal of it. There was no overcoming it. There was no cure for it. Only he was shut up to Christ. He had to go to Christ. Whether Christ healed him or not is the only place he could go. Nowhere else to go. And no one illness is sufficient to accurately picture sin. But all of these things together set before us a picture of fallen man. He's demon possessed. And now what Paul said? Before God quickened you, you who were dead, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's possessed, ain't it? That's possessed. He's demon-possessed. He's a lunatic. You remember that young boy? His father said he's a lunatic. He's a lunatic. Casts himself in a fire, throws himself off a cliff, tries to drown himself. He's a lunatic. Tries to destroy himself. Solomon said, "The heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead." They go to live with others like them. They go to be with others like them. And like Mephibosheth of old, he's crippled by the fall. He's unable to care for himself. Left the hand to the handouts of this world and to the mercy of God. He's blind. Sinners are blind. They walk in the vanity of their mind, is what Paul said. God saved you, Gentiles. He brought you out of idolatry. He brought you out of a false hope and a false religion. And don't you go back there, because they walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They're blind. They can't see. Can't see. And they're dead. They're dead. Sinners are dead. That's a hard one for us to perceive, isn't it? But we are. We're dead. Unclean. Like that woman with the issue of blood, continually unclean. And all that we've ever experienced in our life is just treatments for it, just like her. Wasted all of her living. And she was none the better. And then we're lepers. And what our Lord pictures here is in our text is a disease most associated with sin throughout the scriptures. Leprosy. You remember when Miriam contradicted Moses, her brother, said some things in rebellion against her brother Moses. God smote her with leprosy. And Moses went in and interceded for her life. And God said, well, if she'd have dishonored her mother would have slapped her. Her mother would have punished her for a short time so she can bear this leprosy for a little while, and then I'll heal her. I want her to learn. I want her to learn. Leprosy is most associated with sin throughout the scriptures. I'll never forget Brother Mahan had an opportunity to go to Africa, visit our missionary over there, and while he was over there, they had walked a pretty good trek, and they were down by the river in their camp. They would have had to went way on up the river and around to do that, but he said, "We're going to have to do that," the missionary said, "because there's a leper colony up here." And he said, "I won't go through that leper colony." He said, "No, no, you don't. This thing's extremely contagious. You don't want to go up there." He said, "Just take my word." He said, "Yes, I do. Yes, I do." And he walked through that leper colony, and he saw them and smelled them and looked upon them. And I'm telling you, when he come back, there wasn't a preacher in this country that could talk about sin being compared to leprosy like Henry Mahan. He saw it. And this is exactly the condition of every son of Adam. Isaiah describes them in Isaiah 1 verse 6. He said, "From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it. Just wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, neither been bound up, neither mollified with ointment." They're unsound, and except the Lord of hosts, he said, "it left us a very small remnant. We'd been like Sodom and like unto Gomorrah, just a heap of burn-up ashes." And leprosy is a disease that leaves man forbidden to associate with the children of God. It bars him. It bars him from the worship of God. And sinners, by nature, are barred from the worship of God. They can't enter into it. Their heart is not right with God. God has to enable a man and make him able to worship, give him a love for him, give him a knowledge for him. That's eternal life, is to know God. Not just know there is a God. The devils know that and tremble. That's not salvation. Salvation is to know God in a saving way, to see the glory of his mercy and grace, to experience that grace in your heart. He enables us to worship. He gives us a want to be here. These old lepers, they were forbidden. They must finish out their days with others of like affliction until they die. And if they venture out a little and they see another man or woman approaching, they had to cover their mouth with that old rag, and they had to cry out loud, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." Now I can almost picture that crowd who thought themselves needy sinners, seeing this old leper coming and giving him a wide berth. I can just see that crowd just peeling back when this man came. They didn't want what he had. So here's the first question that comes into my mind. What brought this sinner to Jesus of Nazareth? What made him overcome all the obstacles that stood in his way? What caused this man to come to Jesus of Nazareth? I know he had a complete and perfect understanding of the scriptures. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He could open all the mysteries hidden of God. I know he had a complete and perfect understanding of these things, but what brought this dying sinner to Jesus of Nazareth? It says, he seeing Jesus. Have you ever saw him? You ever saw him? You ever saw him in the Word of God? You ever saw him like Isaiah, high and lifted up, his train fills the temple? The angels of God covering their face, crying, "Holy, holy, holy," the whole place is full of his glory. You ever seen him as God has set him forth? This leper saw him. He saw him as God set him forth. He didn't just see him as another man. He had other men all around him. He saw him as God set him forth. Somebody told him that this man was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Somebody told him that Jesus of Nazareth could and did heal every sick sinner that was brought to him, lepers included. Luke 4:40, in the evening, it says, all that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Blind, halt, lame, made no difference. Demon possessed, dying of the fever, unclean. He cured them all. He received them all, and he blessed them all. Now listen to me. I preach to you. I make every effort to do this, to preach, as I'm sure my Lord did, the doctrines of Christ. I preach election without apology, particular redemption, imputed righteousness, irresistible grace, and the total depravity of man. I preach these things without apology, but no man is going to press his way to Jesus of Nazareth until his condition is brought to him as a living reality. There was people in his day, as there is in ours, that would sit at home or somewhere else in a restaurant, and they'd argue with you all day long over election. They show you in the scriptures where election's stated. But they don't come to Christ. They don't worship Christ. They don't come to him. They don't obey him. Very familiar and flippant about him. This old man, this leper, he didn't just believe that his leprosy was a picture of sin. He was the leper. And you can, and people often do, talk about the depravity of man, ruined by the fall, death passing upon all men, made sinners, and so on. But I'll tell you, when you see the blisters on your skin, it's a whole different ballgame. My wife and I talked about dying, we talked about death, we talked about how we were going to die. All of these kind of things. We thought we were prepared for death. And one day she walked into the doctor's office and the doctor said, you have a year. You have a year. With treatment. You have a year. Boy, I tell you, it's a whole different ballgame then. Reality sets in. That's the way it was with this man. He won't talk about leprosy. He was a leper. He knew more about leprosy than anybody else in that crowd. He was a leper. Look at me, he said. Look at the blisters. Look at the boils. Look at my flesh rotting off my face. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. When sin becomes a reality to you, and you can truthfully cry out with Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. You believe that? Now, come on. Oh, you're about halfway up the scale, ain't you? You can find plenty out here worse than you. Yeah, blisters hadn't come out on the skin yet. But they will, if you're his. They will. My heart, my mind, my will, my thoughts, my works, filthy rags, open running sores. God said, those who have a holier-than-thou attitude are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all day long. You know what he's talking about? I got a neighbor that still likes to burn his garbage. And he'll wait till just after it turns dark just about the time I want to go out and sit down and have me a cup of coffee and just sit outside, he'll light that thing up. That's the stinkingest thing, sitting over burning that old aluminum and plastic bottles and all that. That's what God said sinner is to him, or these self-righteous men are to him. They're a smoke in my nose, he said. A fire that burns all day long. That's man. That's a leper. He's rotten from the inside out. An old smelly leper. But this man saw Jesus as he truly was. And when he saw Jesus as he truly was, he saw himself as he truly is. God come into the flesh, the Lord of glory. Well, how do you know that? Because he fell down before him on his face. We have to think a long time before we even tell anybody that we really believe. This man fell on his face, Jesse. He was serious. He fell on his face in the dirt. Put his face in the dust at the Maker's feet. I'll tell you something else he said. He wasn't talking about me and Jesus got a good thing going. He didn't come in there talking about deals, trying to bargain with the Lord. You cleanse me and I'll serve you every day of my life. What a lie. Here's what this leper said. Lord, Lord. That's what every chosen sinner says when God does a work in him. You don't call him Jesus anymore. You call him Master. You call him Lord. He wasn't Dr. Jesus, not sweet little Jesus boy, not the Jesus of which this world has become so familiar. In fact, not Jesus at all, but Lord. Lord. And those who see him, truly see him, they address him as Lord and Master. This was the Lord of glory. And this old leper knew it. And there was only one in all the population of the world that could do him any good. And he was convinced that Jesus of Nazareth was that man. Was that man. What a difference in the approach of so-called Christians today to this sinner. That old sinner couldn't get himself low enough. He couldn't get himself low enough. Or exalt the Son of God high enough. He saw Jesus as God set him forth. He saw him having no equal, no higher authority than himself. He saw him in the glory of his mercy and love and grace, healing poor sinners just like himself. That's how he saw him. So what brought him here to this place? His disease and a knowledge of the only one that could do him any good. Somehow religions, they've lost that. It's not there anymore. It's just not there anymore. You see, the truth of the matter is not all that complicated. We're dying. We're lepers. We don't have a future. God may tolerate us for a little while, and then it's hell. We're lepers. Life's in him. Only in him. There's no cure outside of him. There's nowhere else to turn, nowhere else to go. Nobody else could do him any good. Well, what did this man say to this man, Jesus? Now, Lord, you know I have a free will. That ain't what he said. That's what religious people talk about. But that ain't what sinners talk about. He said, Lord, if you will, if you will, if you be willing, if it suits your purpose, If this is pleasing to you, religion says name it and claim it, don't they? Oh, that makes me shiver all over when I hear men say that. Religion said it's all up to the sinner. God's done all he can do. And religion pleads with the sinner. Can you imagine the Lord standing there talking to him and say, well, you're really not that bad a shape. Huh? Pleading with the sinner. But that's not the picture here. I see the sinner prostrate on the ground pleading the will of God. And this is how sinners are brought to Christ. They come pleading to him, desperate, hopeless, helpless sinner, face in the dust, hoping in his mercy. Now mercy means something to them. Now it does. You may not know it, but you're his right now. Will you believe or will you don't? He's Lord. He's Lord. That's the one thing that man could say. Lord. He was his Lord. Whether he healed him or whether he didn't. He was Lord. Shut up to the will of God. Shut up to the Savior. Shut up to the mercy and grace of God. Do you understand that God, in all that's going on, in all that's ever gone on from the beginning of the world, God is accomplishing his redemptive will. That's what's going on. Everything that's going on is within the will of God. Nothing happens apart from the will of God. All of these things are going on. And at the same time, he doesn't violate your responsibility. That's how wise our God is. He's able to do all that he pleases, all that he will, all that he said he was going to do from eternity past without violating your responsibility and without compromising his will. Oh, if you will. And then thirdly, the Lord said, I will. Why is there sweeter words anywhere in the world than that? Not to a sinner. Oh, he said, I will. I will. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to cure this leprosy. Be thou clean. Huh? Immediately. Ain't that what that says there in that script, in our text? Immediately, he was cleansed. The leprosy was gone. Immediately. Is there anything anywhere that's not subject to the will of God? Without any understanding of it, Satan and his and all of this present evil world are doing what his hand and his counsel determined before to be done. He points that out to us in the death of Christ. But it's also working in everything else. The heart of the king, Solomon said, is in the hand of the Lord. He can turn it any way he wants to. Just like those rivers of waters out there, God set the course of those rivers. He sets the course of that king's heart. He endures those vessels of wrath fitted for destruction and even uses them to police the world. They become ministers of God's justice to his elect. And he uses them to sustain his elect. Uses them to give his elect a job. Nebuchadnezzar come down there and totally annihilated Jerusalem. He tore the temple down. He desecrated all the things of the temple. He took everything to himself and took it back up to Babylon. But you know what he did? He gave jobs to Daniel. A high position. He gave jobs to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. High positions. He put them to work and paid them. Paid them to do it. That's this world. They hate the God we believe in, but God uses them, and they don't even know they're being used. and he uses them to sustain believers. All that the Father giveth me, he said, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will, he said, be thou clean. It's not of him, the sinner, not of him that willeth, it's not of him that runneth, but it's of God that showeth mercy. And it's the will of God that brought that old leper to Christ. He was taught of God, and being taught of God was drawn by the Father to come to Christ. And what a miracle of grace this thing of faith is. Maybe, just maybe, the Lord will bring another leper to himself. He brought this one. And if he can save me, he can save anybody. Thank you.